He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And this is singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. The load of sin was more than I could bear. He took them all away. He took them all away. In my own name, I know my every care. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. He took my sins away, and keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. No condemnation shall never in my heart. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. His perfect peace He did to me in part. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. Jesus Christ today, you take your sins away, you take your sins away, and keep your head, he in his lavish day, you take your sins away, you take your sins away, you take your sins away, and keeps you singing every day. Away, you take your sins away.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so used to speaking to every people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning, we are going to start from our theme verse from the book of Isaiah 55. I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 55. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Wherefore, yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Ye come diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight in itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Amen.
I want to just tell you that God loves you.
Amen.
Every one of us, I just want you to know that God loves
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You know, when we look at our lives, we come from different backgrounds. We have got so varied experiences and different experiences. But one thing that I want you to know as I start to preach is that God loves you.
Amen.
God is concerned about your future. God is concerned about your life. Just tell your neighbor that God loves you. God loves you.
Amen.
Each one of us, I'll just tell you a story. I didn't intend to say this, but I heard a story about a young child who grew up in a non-Christian country. So what this child heard about Jesus was very negative. All she heard about Jesus was just negative. So one day, this child picked a paper, but it was a page from the Bible. It was just a very small paper. So it had this scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world."
Yeah.
So there was that only that small portion which says, "God loved the world."
Yeah.
So this child went around wondering, because everything that the child was told was that God doesn't love him. God doesn't love him. But this time he's picking a paper. So he took the paper and started to go around asking. And then the child was told this was from the Bible. And then the child went on to read and to study it. I don't know what is your attitude towards God this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what is your attitude towards even this church service this morning.
Yeah.
But I want you to be convinced that God loves you.
Yeah.
Even if you were the only person in this world, God would still send his son to die for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the Bible says, in the book of Psalms, it says, "What is man that you love him, that you visit him?"
Yeah.
God actually comes to visit us. God thinks about each and every one of you.
Yeah.
God says, "I know the plans that I have for you."
Yeah.
When you are young, you have got plans for your future, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have got aspirations.
Yeah.
You have things that you want to achieve in life. But the Bible also says, "I know the plans that I have for you."
Yeah.
In the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3:3. You know, Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to do you good. Plans to give you an expected end." So even as we get into this this morning's teaching, which is the great invitation, God is inviting each and every one of us to open our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, people grow up in different homes and in different environments. Sometimes it's difficult to open up your heart to anyone else. But this morning, I'm encouraging each and every one of us to give our hearts to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To give our lives to him.
Yeah.
And the reason why you have to do it is because he loves you unconditionally.
Yes. Amen.
God loves you unconditionally. You know, one thing that surprises me is God knows all our secrets.
Yeah.
But he still loves you with those secrets.
Yeah.
He still loves you with that background.
Yeah.
Even with every reason not to love us, he still loves you.
Yeah.
Remember that day when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. He visited them.
Yeah.
When their sin was fresh, God visited them and he caused them to confront it and he covered their nakedness. So this morning, I've just come to remind you that God loves you and he's extending a great invitation to you that you give your life to him. You know, the encounter you have with Jesus today will remain for the rest of your life in this world. And you'll take it into eternity. One day you are going to step out of this world into eternity. And if you make peace with Jesus whilst you are alive here, you will go into the other world with him.
Yeah.
One day all of us won't be here, but if we have made a decision one day to follow Jesus, to make him Lord and Savior of our lives, that decision will bring peace in our lives. That decision you will never regret, and you will always remember that day, and you will always be grateful for God's grace that made you to do it.
Yeah.
Now, let's just look at the few verses we just read. This invitation is to everyone.
Yeah.
The Bible says, "Oh, everyone."
Yeah.
in Isaiah 55 verse 1.
Yes.
So God is extending this invitation to every one of us.
Yes.
And what is his instruction? He's saying, come.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Amen.
If you are reading your Bible, it is saying, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come.
Yeah.
What else is he saying? He's saying, come without money.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
He's not limiting, he's not placing some boundaries to those without money. He's inviting even those without money.
Yes.
So this is an act of will.
Yeah.
You have to decide on your own whether you want to come or you don't want.
Yeah.
You know, when I was invited to church, one of the things that I realized is that they were not inviting me to the Apostolic Faith Church only. They were inviting me to have a relationship with my Creator.
Yeah.
And those who invited me, they kept pointing me to Jesus.
Yeah.
They kept gently pushing me to Jesus.
Yeah.
Every step of the way, they were, they were pushing me to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was pulling me in that direction.
Yeah.
When I was alone, when I was about to sleep, he was bringing me close to him.
Yeah.
He was bringing me close to him.
Yeah.
I started to read my Bible.
Yeah.
I started to kneel down and pray. I remember that time when I first came to the Apostolic Faith. It was in 1998, towards the year end. That was the time when I started to kneel down at home and to pray on my own.
Yeah.
I started to kneel down and to pray on my own.
Yeah.
You know, I would kneel down and I would pray. I had the pocket Bible, the Gideons, you know, those small Bibles. I would read from the book of John. You know, it's good for those who are not in the habit of reading their Bibles. You can read that epistle according to John.
Yeah.
It will be a great eye-opener.
Yes.
You start to see God differently.
Yes.
All the things that you might have heard, maybe from religious people, you start to compare with what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Even what I'm preaching this morning, you then start to compare with what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a great work of the Holy Spirit in drawing our hearts close to God, in drawing our lives close to God. You know, this message which is saying, come.
Yeah.
When you are alone, you still hear him saying, come.
Yeah.
When you are in bed, you still hear him saying, come. When you are doing, maybe you are doing study, you still hear him saying, come.
Amen.
The Bible says, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God is drawing us closer to him. He's drawing us to his heart. He's, you know, it's a heart-to-heart thing. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. God is drawing you this morning to say, yes, you are at Green Gables, but are you in a relationship with your Savior? Yes, you go to church, but do you know Jesus as your Savior? He's saying, come to the waters. Come and drink. You know, when you start to detest with this word, you draw yourself into the Bible and you start to read it and you start to search. You start to search. You know, sometimes at night you are searching. You know, soon after that I was in A-level. I used to remember when I would go to study, I was a prefect's librarian. So in our library, there was a section where the senior librarian would sit. So at night, the students would be in charge of the library. So I would go and open the encyclopedias. I would start to read about the Apostle Paul. I would start to read about Jesus Christ, studying from many other sources. Whenever I found anything that said anything about him, I would just start to go deeper. Just, you know, trying to find out, to learn more about him. You know, I had a Bible. When my sister knew that I was converted, I was now a Christian, I wrote her a letter. She bought me an NIV Bible, and I would pour into that Bible. I would just read that Bible. I would just read that Bible. So you'd see every page was highlighted. Why? I was thirsting for God.
Yeah.
The Bible says, them that are thirsting for righteousness, they shall be satisfied.
Yeah.
They shall be filled.
Yeah.
And this morning, I'm encouraging you to go beyond all these people who are here.
Yeah.
One day, all of us will not be in your life.
Yeah.
Some of you are going to do your well in your O levels, do well in your A levels. Maybe you fly abroad and you go to Cyprus. There are no believers. There's no one. Alone in that country, you remember this day that there was a man who came to our school and he told me that one day I would be alone. And at that time, my relationship with God would be important.
Yeah.
There won't be. When I went into university, I realized that many of the restrictions that you have today won't be there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in university, the brothers or the male counterparts could go into the female rooms at any time. There were no restrictions like we have in high school. Yourself, you now had to stand.
Yes.
You could go out all the weekend partying. Now I was saved, but I know those who were not saved could go out all the weekend doing whatever they could do. So I'm warning you ahead of time. One day there won't be any restrictions in your life. And you have time to define yourself. Who are you? What do you stand for in life? What is important to you? You need a strong foundation in the Lord to withstand the pressures in life. Men will perish in university. I was listening to the sermon that was preached last night, and the preacher asked us, challenged us as students, to say, bring out your dictionary. What does the word perish say? Do you remember that from last night? He was challenging us, an old man, isn't it? Challenging us to take a dictionary, and he said, if you perish, you will not be remembered anymore.
Yeah.
Some who are here this morning will perish because of sin.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, you will remember some of this.
Yeah.
Some of the people here, they'll ignore this gospel, they'll ignore these sermons, and when they go out, they'll experience the freedom which is in the world, and they will perish. The challenge is that some of the people have got great potential. The parents are investing a lot of money, and the teachers are investing a lot of effort into you. And you go in the world, and you are not born again, you are not saved, and the pressures in the world, the devil just destroy your life, and you die like that. The Bible says, this is the condemnation in John chapter, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on to say, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world must be saved through him.
Amen.
God sent his son into the world to save the world.
Amen.
God sent his son into the world to bring us back to God. The scriptures then goes on to say, this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What I'm telling you right now is from the word of God. This is the heart of Jesus Christ. He is saying to you, son, give me your heart. He's saying, daughter, give me your heart. It's up to you how we are going to respond this morning. You know, I could be preaching energetically, running right around here, but I'm also trying to appeal. You know, the Apostle Paul at one point said, I beseech you by the mercies of God.
Yeah.
This morning, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God. Be ye reconciled to God. You need to have a relationship with your Creator. You need to have a relationship with your Savior. You don't need to consult with anyone. It's a choice. You are a free moral agent. God gave you the right to choose. God gave you a free will, and it's up to you to choose Jesus or to reject. It's entirely a personal decision.
Yeah.
It's entirely a personal decision. It's entirely a personal decision. You can decide that you love God and you want to give him your heart. You can decide that you still want to live like you are living and you continue like that. You can decide to open your heart this morning and you say, Lord, I've heard your word. I'm opening my heart. I'm opening my life. Come in. Come into my heart. Come. You know, there's a time when you need to give everything about you into his hands.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
He has already said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you an expected end. Plans to give you a good end. Now, I also want you to observe from this scripture the bountifulness, the extravagance of God. God uses extravagance in his statements. He's saying, come all, all. We are going to Mose, everyone.
Yes.
Come all of you, come.
Yeah.
Everyone, come. There's also a scripture which says, them that receive the abundance of grace.
Yes.
You know, God uses bountifulness. God has got plans. Another scripture says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. The riches of his mercy. The riches of his mercy. God uses bountifulness in his language. God has abundance. God has abundance. He's saying, come to the waters. Come and drink.
Amen.
Everyone, come.
Yes.
It reminds me those people who don't normally get hold of money, when they get money. And we are told some will then go to the bar and they say, everyone, what do you want? Then they buy for everyone. Just goes to the shopkeeper. Tell me how much is all the stock in this shop. And he pays because he thinks he's got money. But God's resources are limitless.
Yeah.
Yes.
God created this world for his children. All the gold in this world belongs to God.
Amen.
All the land belongs to him. All the cattle upon 1,000 years belong to him. So when he's speaking, he uses bountifulness. This world has got boundaries. There are boundaries of Zimbabwe, boundaries going into South Africa and to what? But when God created this world, all of it belongs to him. So, when God looks at it, in his mind, there are no boundaries because all of it belongs to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This province is probably Blawayo province, and there's Mat South province, Mat North province. But someone who is from a government's perspective says, this is our land. Those boundaries are minor divisions. So, everything that is in this world, the Bible says the world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yeah. Amen.
So if God wants you to go to the United States, he doesn't even lose sleep. If God wants to give you something, he doesn't lose sleep. Everything belongs to him.
Amen.
Even when God heals you of cancer, you know, in short, his power, you're talking about Gwin and Utashanda. No, it's nothing to him.
Yeah.
At one point, the prophet says, you are going to see water, because there was drought.
Yeah.
You are going to see water and in its plentifulness, but there's not going to be much. God's power is not affected when he does something for you.
Yeah.
God is so full of power. Yeah. He's so full of glory.
Yeah.
When he works in your life, in heaven, they won't feel it. It won't be dim to say his power now because he's healing you. God is so full of power. You can't limit his power.
Amen.
And that God is inviting you into a covenant. He's saying, I want to make a covenant with you.
Yes.
God wants to come into a relationship, a covenant relationship with you. He wants to give you the sure mercies of David.
Yes.
So, in the first instance, we also see this is about souls, because he's saying your soul shall live. Your soul shall live. When Adam sinned, the nature of sin came into us. We are born into this world, but we are not sensitive to spiritual things. So whilst we are alive in the natural, we are spiritually dead. So God wants to give us life in us. God wants to give us life. He says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you see his wording? He wants to give you life in what? In abundance.
Yes. Yes.
You need this life at your age.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Like I told you, I was born again when I was just completing Form 4. So I've been in the Lord for more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't regret knowing God.
Yeah.
I don't regret being a Christian.
Yeah.
God has helped me.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to share some of the smaller testimonies. I remember when I was in college, I didn't have money at one time, and I didn't have toothpaste. So I prayed that morning, and I said, Lord, I no longer have toothpaste. I'm asking for toothpaste. That same day, a friend came to me and he said, you know, I don't know why. I just bought toothpaste and I had this one. So take this toothpaste. But he didn't know that I was praying for toothpaste. So that told me that God cares about the smallest details of our lives. You know, some of the minor things that you think this is too small, God cares about the smallest things about your life. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. At one point when I was in boarding school, I didn't have some supplies, and I said, I don't want to bother my parents anymore. I'm now born again. So I prayed. That was when I was in Form 5. Then I prayed and said, Lord, in this room, I want this and this and this. And before I knew it, those things were sent to me without me troubling my parents. You know, I just learned that, you know, I don't know with some of you, but there are people who are in trouble. I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. You also need to understand that your parents might not be in a position sometime. But when you kneel down and pray, God will send what you need.
Yeah.
God will provide. And you start to develop a close relationship with God. At one point, my daughter wanted bread. And we were already eating our breakfast. But there was no bread that day. I think there was rice. There was no bread. And my daughter, she's in ECD. And she said, Daddy, I want this. And I said, you know what? You need to pray. And she kneeled there, down at the table. She kneeled and prayed for bread. And there was bread in the womb, but we had forgotten about it. So while she was in the middle of prayer, that's when God told me, there's bread in the womb. So I just said, wake up from prayer. Go and take the bread. And she was smiling and happy. So, you know, God is so real in my life. God has been answering prayers just like that. You know, it's so lovely when you know that you can pray and God answers prayer. When you know that when God invites you to come, you can start a relationship with him. Right now, you need to start praying for the place where you go for university. You need to start praying about your future. You are focused on things that will matter in life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Let's read Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 17. Yes. Yes. Verse 18.
Into a red pool of water, and the waterless land into streams of water.
Yes.
You see, he's talking about a dry place, but look at your life as a dry place.
Oh, yeah.
God wants to give you wells of living waters in your heart.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus was speaking to that woman at the well, he said, this water in this well, when you drink it, you'll become thirsty again.
Yeah.
But there's some other water which I'll give. When you drink that water, you'll never thirst again.
Yeah.
I remember another drama which I saw when I was growing up. I think when I was sometime in secondary school. Jesus was inviting people to come and have living water. So these people were coming. Someone came with a very small container. Maybe you know that lid for the bottle top for Coca-Cola. Someone came with a small thing like that to say, put the living water in this.
Okay.
Someone brought a closed bottle and say, put the living water. So the water was being poured, but all of it was going outside. Someone came with something which was difficult to put the water inside. And then someone came with a very big dish. And then you are saying, put all the water in this dish, a very big one. So when Jesus is saying, come to the waters, bring the biggest container that you can. Open your heart the widest that you can. Plant yourself there. Plant yourself head first. Say, Lord, I have come.
Amen. God bless you.
When someone is giving, maybe, you know, I also heard about people when Jesus was looking for a room. Some people closed all the doors and said, Jesus, stay outside there.
Yeah.
Some just opened a small room, maybe the toilet, and said, Jesus, in our house, we don't have another place. We are giving you the toilet. Others, they just gave him one room. Then others gave him the whole room and said, Jesus, take the whole house. You are now the master. Tell us what to do. Take the rest of my life. You know, all these illustrations, we are just trying to show you that it's up to you.
Yeah.
Some are giving him the toilet to say, in this house, Jesus, come in, but you will be in the toilet only. Some are saying, come, but we don't want you, Jesus, in our bedrooms.
Yeah.
We can give you probably the sitting rooms only. Yeah, that would be fine. You can be there, Jesus. And someone is saying, I'm giving you everything.
Yeah.
Everything that is here, you are now the master.
Yes.
You know, the moment Jesus comes into your life, he wants to be the Lord.
Yes.
He's not only a savior, he's also the Lord.
Amen.
He wants to tell you what to do. He wants you to tell you how to behave.
Amen.
He wants to be the master.
Yes.
Is he not? Is he not the Lord? You know, I also wanted to just mention about when you are hungering for the Lord, you want to avoid things that dampen your hunger.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen someone who is very hungry? Probably you spend the whole day in the bushes. I once went to the end of this farm, down there, and there's no water, there's nothing. Maybe for the better part of the day, you are very hungry, and you are walking from that end without food, without anything, and you are really hungry, and then maybe you know that a first class meal has been prepared for you here, but then before you get here, you find some muddy water there, then you drink very much, you drink dirty water there, and you also find some other things and you eat. By the time you come here, you don't have enough hunger. Because you have already dampened your appetite, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you are hungering for the Lord, you must be careful to avoid things that takes your appetite for God.
Yeah.
But when you are hungering for God, you want to find quality time with God in prayer.
Yeah.
You know Jesus' own prayer habits. When he was praying, he was not in a hurry. When it was time for prayer, he gave himself time to pray.
Yeah.
You know, when it's time to read the word of God, you want to get into the word. You want to go there and to pour your heart. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Swedera ivuna mari, iyako swedera opa muri. You know, if you are going to amount to anything in life, you need to make important decisions whilst you are young.
Yes, God bless you.
Esau and Jacob were twins. Jacob knew those things which were important. He knew that he was not the firstborn, but he knew the importance of birthright.
Yeah.
And he was always meditating, finding ways to get it.
Yeah.
And he got it.
Yeah.
He knew the things that would please his mother. He wanted to get all the blessings from his mother. He wanted to go to get all the blessings from his father. And I'm talking to someone this morning. You want to get all the blessings from your father, isn't it?
Yeah.
God has put some of your blessings in your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Am I talking to someone this morning?
Yeah.
God has put some of your own blessings in your parents. So why do you hate your father? Because he rebukes you. So why do you hate your mother? God has put some of your blessings in your parents.
Yeah.
I'll repeat it. God has put some of your blessings in your parents.
Yeah.
The Bible says, children, obey your parents. This is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is the first law with a what? With a promise.
Yeah.
Know the things that will bring blessing into your life early. And pursue them relentlessly.
Yeah.
Pursue them relentlessly.
Yeah.
Pursue them relentlessly. Make sure that your father will bless you.
Yeah.
Make sure that your mother will bless you.
Yeah.
Make sure that your teachers will bless you.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel was praying for favor. And,
yeah.
and then God gave him favor before all the people.
Yeah.
Even when the kings were changing, that favor remained.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, this morning, God is saying, come unto me.
Yeah.
Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Yes.
Come unto me. You know, this message to say come must echo in your ears. Come.
Yes. Amen.
Come.
Yes.
Jesus is saying, come.
Yes.
The Spirit says, come.
Yes.
The bride says, come. Even so, come, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's read Revelation 3, verse 20. Yes. Yes. Thank you for reading. Can someone from this end read the same scripture? Revelation 3, verse 20. Yes. Thank you. Can someone from this section read the same verse? Yes. Okay, you see, the Bible is saying, I stand at the door and knock. It's Jesus who is telling you that he's knocking
yeah.
at your heart. And he's saying, if any man, if any woman, if anyone hears my voice. This morning, did you hear the voice of God calling you?
Amen.
Did you hear him asking you to open your heart? He's saying, if any man hear my voice and open the door. I'll come into him.
Yeah.
Do you see what the Bible is saying? I'll come into him. I'll come into his heart. So this door which he's talking about is the door of your heart.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm knocking in your life.
Yeah.
I'm knocking in your heart. If any man, anyone, I know here there are students, there are parents, there are teachers, If any man open, you might not be a student this morning, but do you remember a day when you opened your life to God? Do you remember a day when you gave your life to Jesus? Have you ever met a day when you just remember that on that day, I knelt down, I said, Lord, I've heard your word, I've never considered you, but I'm saying, Lord, come into my life. Come and rule my life. Come and help me. You know, some people don't know how to pray. They wonder to say, when I kneel down, what am I going to do? Prayer is simply communicating with God. Prayer is a positive response to God's word. When God has spoken to you and you have heard what God was saying to you, it's up to you also to speak back to him. It's up to you now to say, Lord, I've heard, you have asked me to come to the waters, you have said there's abundant life, you have said there's eternal life, you are calling me to a covenant with you, you are calling me to fellowship with you. Lord, I love you. Some knows how to speak words of love to other people. But I want to encourage you to say, have you ever spoken words of love to Jesus? Have you ever spoken words of love to your Creator? Have you ever spoken intimately to your Creator? This morning I'm persuading you by the mercies of God. I'm persuading you to say, when you kneel down this morning, you can say, Lord, I'm so excited that I have got an opportunity to speak to you. I thank you that you have given me an opportunity whilst I'm alive to give my life to you, to give my future to you, to give all my plans to you. I'm not going to give you the end of my life. I'm going to give you everything. Just think of those people. I'm told they were traveling in a car. They had in the front seats and in the back seats, it was a small car. There were people full there. They were drinking beer and they were partying. And then they had some crates of eggs in the boot at the back. So they said, there's no place for Jesus in our car. We'd rather put him in the boot there. So they got into a head-on crash and all of them perished. But all the eggs in the boot, they were just intact like that. The portion which they gave to Jesus, it was intact. This morning, I'm just appealing to you young people. God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to rule your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to guide you through this life. Some of you are going to live a long life. And God wants to be with you every day of the rest of your life. I'm just appealing to you to say you can pray this morning. When you kneel down, don't be quiet. When you kneel down, don't be quiet. Speak to your Creator. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you want to live with him. Tell him that you want to walk with him. Tell him that you appreciate what he's doing for you. Tell him that you want to have more time with him. May God bless you.
Thank you.